Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 7, and what we obviously learned that the Lord says that I pervade in this nature, Prakriti, in my eightfold manifestations. As we have seen, that five elements, mind, intellect, and ego, these are all, Bhagavan says, my manifestations in this nature. But it's other than this manifest nature of mine, I also have a higher nature, which is the source of all these manifestations. It's in that higher nature is not perceptible to any one of us because we are deluded by this manifestation of the Lord, which is created by Maya. He said, my power of divine Maya, my own divine Maya, creates these projections of apparent plurality when there is only one exist. One never ceases to be one, but it appears to have become many. And he said, each one of us is deluded by this Maya, which has three aspects. The Maya is made up of sattva, rajas, and tamas. And you see, these three aspects in nature, with permutations, combinations of its percentages or proportions, create this world of plurality. This wonderful world of plurality is created by just these three basic qualities of Maya, which is sattva, the awareness or knowledge, rajas is activity, and tamas inertia. For anything or being to exist, you have in some proportion, all three has to be there. There should be an activity, there should be inertia, and there has to be some level of awareness of I exist, or a knowledge about my surrounding. You see, this three gunas confuses every being. Under the spell of these three gunas, it is very difficult to overcome this Maya, because we are either predominantly dominated by one guna or the other. And that confuses us, and we can never overcome Maya. We can never see beyond the Maya. But Bhagavan says there is one escape hatch, you know, and that is the one who take refuge in me, the higher self. See, we have right now taken refuge in Lord. There is no other way. We can survive on our own. Unless there is someone there to create food for us, there is the air available for us to breathe. So we have taken refuge. But we have taken refuge in the eightfold Prakriti. We are depending on the nature, and therefore we are under the spell of Maya. Bhagavan says, the one who has taken refuge in me as the higher self, he can overcome Maya by my own grace. But he said, the people who are not convinced that there is something higher than the world we see, one who is completely convinced that this is it, this life is it, this world is what it is, there is nothing beyond this, they will never be able to do that. And there, the verse we have seen is, Duskrutino janaha naradhamaha, of the lower prakriti, because they've taken refuge in this lower prakriti. Therefore, Bhagavan calls them a lower prakriti. I've completely taken refuge in this material world. This is my salvation, is this material world. Anything what I need to make me happy only exists in this material world. If that's my belief, and Bhagavan calls them Naradhamaha. They are the people of lower quality. But he said, those who are of the higher prakriti, suduskritonaha, those who have this inkling, at least, there is something beyond this existence. There is someone beyond this who has a control over this nature, as we say. Those are my devotees. And those devotees are classified in four different classes. Chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritino arjuna. Those who are the virtuous people. In other words, they have in their heart an inkling that even though it seems that the material world is the field of my actions and field where I can get my pleasure and happiness, but there is something beyond this, something other than this world of nature which I see. So normally we keep saying, well, naturally this happened. Well, I naturally did this. I am depending on my nature to drive my instincts to where I find my happiness. But you see, those who have this inkling that this nature is not what it's all about. Nature is an apparent projection which makes me think my happiness lies there. But there's something other than this. He said, those people are sukritino janaha. They worship me or identify with me in four different types. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Artaha. The first class is, I'm not satisfied with the way things are with me. Now, you may think, Neil, everything is going great for you. But I am not satisfied. So I'm artaha. I'm looking at the Lord and say, how can I get rid of these imperfections which I have in my life? Most of us fall in that category most of the time. We are not satisfied with who we are, what we have. So Bhagavan, you just get me the green card and I'm fine. And after that, get the green card. I'm relating to people who came here in late 60s and 70s. Artha is the one who is not happy, who is clearly in some kind of a pain and wants to get out of that pain. So the first class of bhaktas fall into the category Artha. The next one is Jignasu. I want to know what is the nature of the Lord. I've heard all these things from the different masters and religions, but I need to know. So I'm a jignasu. Out of curiosity, I want to find out the nature of the Lord. And the Swamiji even says, anybody who is doing any kind of a research in any field is a jignasu. A scientist, an artist, we are doing something, exploring what is beyond this perceptible world that I have. That which I know today is the reality. Is that the reality or something beyond this? I'm not satisfied with the definition of reality given to me today. So I'm a jignasu. I want to find out more. The next one is artharthi. One who is worshipping Lord because he wants the means to find happiness. I am still convinced that my happiness lies in the world of material outside. But how to achieve this, I know it is only through the Lord. So I pray to the Lord. So that's a third category who wants to achieve the means to find the goal. They are the artharthi. And the last one is gnani. You see, gnani is the one who knows that this is not what it is. I want to identify with the higher nature of the Lord is the gnani. So Bhagavan says, these people are all of them identifies with me in some fashion. The one who is the remover of my sorrow, or one who is a give me the understanding of what he is, or one who can give me the means to find that happiness, or the one who will become myself and himself becoming the one. See, these are the four types of my devotees, he said. And all of them are dear to me, Bhagavan said. But tesam gnani nitya yukta ek bhaktir visishyate. All of them are dear to me. In the class, you may have 20 students. They say, well, all students are dear to me. But this one, really, I like him because he is close to what I want my student to be. I teach him something and he learns right away. I tell him something, he gets it right away. He's close to me. That doesn't mean I don't like others of my students. I despise others. He said, all these devotees are dear to me, but Gnani excels among them all. Because at the state of his understanding where he is, he understood that this world of plurality is nothing but a temporary projection on that imperishable self. And if myself is part of this self, my ultimate goal is to identify myself with his self. And therefore Bhagavan said, tesam gnani nitya yukta. He is ever steadfast. See, sometimes our understanding is in good times we identify and say, it makes all the sense. When things don't go right, we say, well, I don't, this thing make any sense, you know. So that we, our understanding sometimes conveniently we identify one or the other. We say, gnani, one who has this light of knowledge. Once I understood this is reality, I can never be going back to the other definition of reality. If somebody tells me that this lights work because of electricity, and once I understood this, no matter what you convince me that, oh no, Neil, this thing works because of, you know, our magical levitation powers, none of them will make any sense to me. I'll always be convinced. I may pity your ignorance, but my understanding remains firm that this is how these lights work in this room. He said, Gnani is like that. He has understood in his heart what is the nature of the self is. He is ever steadfast in his mind what is the nature of the self and what's his relationship with the self. So he said, tesam gnani nityuk eka bhakti, always identified with me. He knows that all my other roles are temporary. I'm a father, I'm a teacher, I'm an employee, I'm a servant, I'm a member of a Hindu sect, whatever. All these are temporary superimposition on myself. But my real identity is that Lord who pervades everywhere. So you say, tesam gnani nitya yukta eka bhakti. Bhakti, as we have seen, is a higher form of love. Love for the divine is bhakti. Love is nothing but identification. And more we love someone, we lose ourselves and identify with that self. You know? For the one we love, we'll do give up anything and everything. But one we don't love, we want to share. And I need my equal share, my rightful share. You can't have anything more than what you deserve. Because there it's a commercial contract and not a love. So Bhagavan says the one who is eka bhakti, one who is identified all the time with that only one identification, who I am, he excels out of his own state of where he is. Priyohi gnanino atyartham aham. I am very dear to the gnani. One, I fell in love with somebody so intensely that I can't see anything. I'm walking around and any girl going in town, I see her in that, you know. Oh, that must be, oh, she must be here. No, she is not here. My identification is so great that I see her in everybody. You know, you see that once I have that, he comes very to him. I am very dear to him. I, as the higher self, is very dear to him. And such a mama priyaha, such a person is very dear to me. Once again, we get sometimes caught into these words and say, well, see, Bhagavan is partial. He said, I like these guys, and I don't like these guys. Going back to the definition, priyaha means one whom I love. Love is identification. One who identifies with me the most, I identify with him the most. It's a reciprocal arrangement. Bhagavan says, and Swamiji says here, that if you love someone with your pure heart without an expectation, there is no other option for that person but to love you. That's just the nature of love. And I have heard this Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, somewhere I heard his lecture, and he said, just as in this material world, the building block of this material world is an atom, at least at the atomic science level, he said, so is the building block of the soul is love. He said, the soul is made up of this pure identification with the Lord. And when that identification we discover, that's where Bhagavan said, such a person is so dear to me, and I am very dear to him. In the last verse which we have seen, it says, Udaraha sarva evaiti. As I said, I was 2 verses ahead. All these people are dear to me. Anyone who is worshipping me, anyone who is identifying with me, in whatever fashion, in whatever state, in whatever proportion, is dear to me. They are all noble. Udaraha sarva ete. Udara, they are very generous and noble. Gnani tvam eva me matam. But again, the Gnani is the noblest of them all. According to my opinion, Bhagavan is very humble. He never says, well, you believe in me. I'm telling you. In my opinion, the Gnani is the noblest of them all. Asthita sahiyuktatma mameva anuttamam gatim. Having steadfast in his mind in me, ever identifying with yuktatma, his atma always identifying with myself, mameva anuttamam gatim, he comes to my being. He becomes one with me. And the journey completes here because we started out by saying all my sorrows and pains in this world is because of my limitations. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wealthy enough. All this what I'm not enough. One place it all ends when I am the Swami of this entire universe. If I control this entire nature, then all my limitations are gone. Therefore, Bhagavan says, the one who is steadfast in his mind with me, identifying his self with me, he comes to become me, the almighty, imperishable being. And we'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.